The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to the WrestleWolf Podcast, brought to you by the Pigskin Podcast Network, part of the Amaze Sports Podcast Network. I'm Damien Gibson.
And I'm Paulie T. Damien and I are nerdy wrestling neckbeards here to give you our takes on the week that was in All Elite Wrestling. You can find us on Twitter at Mark Paulie T and Mr. Damien Gibson. And for all things WrestleWolf, go to WrestleWolf.com.
It was another huge week in pro wrestling. Coming up, we've got news on Taya Valkyrie, Thunder Rosa, and Paige. And also, of course, the best, worst, and wait-and-see moments from Dynamite and Rampage and our predictions for the coming week.
Yeah, we sure do. It was a week where we had some huge Japanese stars appear in AEW. We had five new matches added to the Forbidden Door card.
Yeah, after Rampage today, five. Yeah. Five matches, yeah.
We heard about more injuries. These injuries are just, that's the biggest, the story that's really creating all of the changes around the place at the moment. I actually liked a Marina Shafir match. I know, shoot me, but I thought it was really good. I don't care what anyone else says. This was a clash of styles. Anyway, let's not get into the details.
Mm-hmm. I think this whole thing with Marina Shafir is kind of a non-story, and the only thing I would say about it is that I don't want to just get into pointing fingers, but it feels like there's some personality clashes between wrestlers at AEW and certain people are leaking things to dirt sheets. But anyway, that's just my little conspiracy theory of the week.
Yeah, look, essentially, I think there's been an attitude towards up-and-coming talent, and especially those that don't have a pure wrestling or even like a gymnastic-style background, but they've come from a fighting background or a martial arts background, that they aren't able to sell good stories in the ring. But when you consider some of the different styles, like maybe in recent times we've seen FTR get a little bit more show a little bit more motion. I don't mean emotion, but as in they're ready to ride the bumps, do some flips, and do a bit more of that work. But a few years ago, their mantra was no all fists, no flips, or something like that.
Yeah,
they were just like we're just going to go in and beat you up. But they had wonderful matches with opponents that were doing different moves, different styles, clash of styles. Clash of styles can be entertaining, and I've actually started to actually like what she can do. I think Toni Storm getting over was the right thing to do. But I really do think she's got some potential. Anyway, we've got plenty of other things to talk about.
All right. Well, let's get very lady heavy news segment this week, which is good because we can never talk about women enough in pro wrestling. Taya Valkyrie, who is an Impact signed star at the moment, was wrestling at AAA's Triple Mania, which is essentially their All Out or WrestleMania is probably a better way to describe it. She called out Thunder Rosa. So I'm not quite sure. Do you know if this means, are we looking at Thunder Rosa going to AAA, or are we looking at Taya Valkyrie coming across from, are we going to have a, is the forbidden door going to open between AEW and Impact?
I'm not going to get into predictions just now because we do have a segment for that later. But as far as I can tell from the story, which was on WrestlingInc.com, Taya Valkyrie has come out and said, you know, you claim to be Mexican's best. Why don't you come to Mexico and prove it? And so that's the feeling that I get.
To shoot AAA. Probably. All yeah. right. I wish AAA had some sort of streaming service outside of America and Mexico. I've looked into it on numerous occasions, and it's almost impossible to do. So you can buy pay-per-views, but then they're only in Spanish. So if there's anybody listening to our show has any connection with AAA at all, like, the gringos want to watch, man. Like, if you could just make it happen, there's a couple of white boys down here in Australia that absolutely would watch AAA if you could make it available to us. So, but anyway, I'll probably watch that in Spanish and have no idea what's going on outside of what's in the ring. Maybe I should learn Spanish. Maybe that's my next thing. Yeah, I'm going to learn Spanish and do a Spanish commentary booth for my own podcast.
You should. You should. I think it would certainly help to increase our listener base.
Yeah, that's true, man. Yeah. Now we're on a network and doing ads, we've got to think about these things. We've got to have synergy and you know, other buzzwords.
Broaden your listener base.
Yeah.
Stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. dollars per download. Yeah.
I'm just having a look at the notes here. Thunder Rosa replied saying that she lives rent-free in people's minds. You know where to find me. So with that, I'm not sure if that means that she's inviting Taya Valkyrie to AEW?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Let's see what happens.
Man, that's awesome. Taya Valkyrie is great and has really elevated Impact's women's division, which was already really good anyway. So, yeah, I just want to give a shout out to their pay-per-view, the Slammiversary pay-per-view that was on last Sunday. We don't do Impact stuff really, so this was a nice little like 2.5 hours of just watching wrestling for the sake of it. And I know I bring up Impact quite a lot in an almost condescending way of like, you should check out Impact. They do a really good job with what they've got. But they really do. They're a fantastic promotion. I really love them a lot. And if you've got a spare $20, go watch Slammiversary, man. It's a good time.
In other news, Thunder Rosa is the one who Taya Valkyrie has called out, is getting more attention from other promotions around the world, not just AAA, but there is a promotion in Japan called Joshi Pro Wrestling,
mm-hmm.
which is a, as far as I know, is a female-only promotion.
Yeah, yep. It is. Yeah.
And according to 411mania.com, give credits, Thunder Rosa will be returning to Joshi Pro in Tokyo at their Summer Sun Princess event. The Joshi Pro Wrestling announced on Sunday that Rosa will face off with Mia Yamashita at the July 9th show. This will be Rosa's first Joshi Pro match since January 2020, when she won the International Princess title from Maki Ito. She eventually relinquished the title due to the pandemic. So, July 9th, she's going to be competing at the Summer Sun Princess event.
Mm-hmm.
When and she previously held that title. Oh no, she previously won the International Princess title. Okay, cool. July 9th. That is just, what, 2 weeks away?
Yeah.
Now,
just in time for her to lose the title at Forbidden Door.
do you really think Tony's going to send Thunder Rosa to Joshi Pro 2 weeks after the Forbidden Door as just the former women's champion? Do you really think Taya Valkyrie is going to come to AEW to challenge the former women's champion?
No, I don't think so. Probably not. But I'm in love with Toni Storm and I want her to be champion.
Yes. You did it, finally.
Finally, the truth. Speaking of other people that I'm in love with, Paige has been on Twitch talking about her future, and she didn't really clarify anything. Is that where? Obviously, she's not going to go on Twitch and be like, I'm going to AEW. But did she give us any clues as to what her next steps are?
Well, the interesting bits that I picked up, I didn't watch the stream, but I just read a report about it. And the interesting bits that I picked up was, one, that she specified that her departure from AEW coming up on July 10th, I believe, was not her decision.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So.
Look. I'll play devil's avocado here for a second with Paige. I'm dumbstruck that she has managed to be on WWE's roster for as long as she has without performing in ring, because we know how
ruthless. Or even just being a manager.
Or anything. Yeah. Like, we know how cutthroat and ruthless they can be. So I actually think this is a situation where WWE have actually probably gone beyond expectations. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how much. I understand that she got injured in working for them, and she seems to be very well liked. But, hearing that, I'm like, oh, wow, okay. Like, I'm surprised it hasn't happened earlier, especially considering the Black Tuesdays of 2020 and 2021, where, 100 people were getting let go from the organization in a day. It's amazing that Paige managed to last this long. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad. That's the closest you're going to get to me saying something nice about WWE.
there was another little piece of news that I heard during the week, and that was that Mick Foley is leaving WWE. Now, I didn't even know that he was employed by them.
Yeah. Like, what does he do? He's on the same thing as Hitman and Taker. Like, they're on these Legends contracts. So,
Anything? Did they actually perform any tasks to be paid?
No, well, they'll go to signings and, they'll show up on the pre-show panels for pay-per-views and things like that. So, Booker T's on a similar thing and, it is also the Chelsea Football Club model of signing everybody so no one else can sign them.
Yeah.
So Hitman would be working for AEW if he wasn't on one of these Legends contracts.
Right.
Mick Foley will most likely come to AEW when he's not on a Legends contract. So, that's what Big Show was on. But he wanted to come back and wrestle. But I don't know what's going on there.
We haven't seen his character from The Waterboy yet.
Oh, yeah. Remember we broke that story? Anyway,
just to cover this item off, so her departure from WWE was not her choice, and because she is exiting or leaving after the end of a contract, there is no compete clause. She's not being prevented from working for anyone else. So therefore, she could turn up on Rampage on
the next night.
Yeah. The next night, yeah, absolutely. Could be, July 11th, I believe, is the Friday night.
Yeah, sick. Look, she could be just the mouthpiece for the women's division of AEW. I feel like they need someone to stick up for her, and I don't know if they've got for that division. I don't know if they've got anyone in the locker room at the moment who does that in the way that, CM Punk does for AEW. You know what I mean? or Kenny Omega will for AEW. I think even if it's in just a valet role or a manager's role, actually, sorry, valet's a terrible word. Anyway, if it's in a manager's role, I think she's the kind of personality that would really put the women's division on the map and really stick up for it. I just think it's a no-brainer for Tony to get Paige across.
I just want to do a correction of something that I said about 45 seconds ago. Just get this out of the way real quick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I said she could appear on Rampage on July the 11th, but I've got those dates completely wrong. I'm sure I told you previously what I thought the appearance time would be, but as it turns out, when I'm using these amazing technology of a calendar, it turns out that July 11th is actually a Monday. So I don't know what I was talking about. But anyway, so look, I don't know, maybe it's the 8th or maybe it's the 15th. I can't remember. It's very soon.
Whatever the next Dynamite is, she'll appear. All right, let's get into the Dynamite and Rampage segments of the podcast. We'll start with the wait and see moments, which is now traditional. You want to go first or do you want me to?
I'll take this one. Okay. So on Rampage this week, we saw the debut of a new pairing of Serena Deeb and Mercedes Martinez as a tag team. They weren't given a name, but they were just there to be put over in a bit of pretty much a squash match. I'm not really sure what the plan is here with what they're doing, because it doesn't really feel like they have a deep enough roster to be able to set up a tag division. And there's no existing pairings that really work together regularly. So, yeah, I'm very curious to see how they're going to take this one forward. I must say that Lane Luck and Sierra, who were these trainees who appeared out there to basically be jobbers to put Martinez and Deeb over, big praise goes to them. They really took some serious punishment in this. Martinez and Deeb were not taking them like they were treating them pretty rough. They were very stiff. Like each of those elbows and those chops and the kicks, they were hard. Mm-hmm. I reckon these girls are going to be really sore after that. So big praise to them.
Yeah, I liked that match. This is me doing what I do best and just making stuff up as I go along. Inspiration, formerly known as the Iconics, lost the tag team belts in Impact and haven't shown back up again since. That's been about 4 weeks since that happened.
Right.
Coming to AEW, maybe?
Okay.
They've got to quickly put together a
tag division. Tag division.
I think we've talked about this last week or the week before, that a women's tag division makes sense, trying to get more women onto the product. It kills a lot of birds with one stone. You've got more airtime for the girls, more representation for the women, so it kind of gets people off Tony's back a little bit with that. And you can bring some more belts in as well, so which everybody loves.
Everybody.
Yeah, well, two-thirds of WrestleWolf do, and one-third vehemently does not, but I'm not going to air the contents of me and Sir Kayfabe's text messages to each other on air, even though I just did. My wait and see is Christian. Look, I'll be honest. This is me cheating. I had two bests, and I've stuck one in my wait and see. But Christian's heel promo, I think I wrote to you, Christian's taking the kids to school on how to get real heat, and that's what he did. Him and Jericho have always been amazing at this. I think they run together as a tag team, even though it's probably not super cool now because it did involve, I'm completely forgetting the name of probably the greatest women's wrestler in WWE history, blonde, very pretty, help me out here. Oh, God, Paul, help, don't say something.
Look, unfortunately, because of my awful memory, with especially when it comes to names,
it'll come to me. It doesn't matter.
The only thing that it is that I'm remembering, and forgive me, everyone, because this is not a very pleasant memory, but I'm just stating facts, is that Jerry the King Lawler used to get very excited and talk about puppies.
Yeah, God, yeah. Anyway, it's not late. I keep going to say later, and it's not later. Anyway, it will come to me. And then I keep going to say Tony Storm, and it's not Tony Storm. Anyway, my point is that Christian, credit where credit's due. Sir Kayfabe said this, where he's like, Christian isn't afraid to get real heat. Like, he's not afraid for people to actually really dislike him. And that's why he's such a good heel. And Jericho, like, he will make himself look stupid, like an asshole. Whatever it takes for him to get that heel character over, he'll do. Jericho's a master of it as well. And we just got to see that. Like, for anybody who, you know, I've had some interesting conversations with some people on Twitter since Christian's been signed about his worth. Whatever he's been paid, it was repaid on Dynamite in spades. Because Christian, like, it's all very meta and cool because he was talking about, like, oh, you know, you think I came back here to help the kids and try and help the business? Of course I didn't. I came here for a payday. So, like, he's using all the complaints on Twitter as a source of this. But, you know, like, it's almost like the Twitter bots have turned him into the character that they, you know, all of their complaints have manifested into Christian to make this heel character. But he's a bridge for Jungle Boy. He's a bridge for Jungle Boy to get from the top of the mid card to the top of the card. And that's, like, this was the first step of that. And hopefully him going, I'm sure some people have been watching it going, Jesus Christ, I mean, that's super harsh. I'm absolutely 1,000% certain that Christian would have brought up the idea of this and Jungle Boy would have been like, yeah, okay, let's do it. To try and bring out more personality from Jungle Boy. Because if there's been one criticism of him, he seemed a lot more comfortable on the mic than he did 2 years ago, but we still don't know much about him, right, as a guy, like as a character. We don't get a lot of him when he cuts a promo. It's all very cookie cutter. I'm a good guy and I'm going to come down there and beat you because you say bad things, yeah, sort of thing. And we just need a bit more of him, you know what I mean? Like, just I'm sure it's there. It just needs to be brought out, and I think that's what Christian's trying to do with this promo.
Just to clarify, for those who didn't see this promo that we're talking about, what Damien was referring to just there was that Christian made some very unpleasant comments about Jungle Boy Jack Perry's dead father, Luke Perry.
Hmm. Buffy the Vampire Slayer's boyfriend.
Hmm.
That's his greatest role, right? Dylan from 90210. The thing is, Luke Perry was a big wrestling fan as well. So I actually think he would be, like, he would have got it. He would have understood this. He would have loved it. Like, if Christian cut a heel promo on me, it's all I would talk about for the rest of my life. So,
were you thinking of Stacey Keibler?
No, close.
Oh.
She was actually a really, really good wrestler. I just keep going to say Tony Storm, and it's not. But around that time frame, blonde, yeah, short, good wrestler.
I didn't think you were thinking of Stacey Keibler because she was not a good wrestler.
She came back kind of recently and had a couple of matches with Charlotte Flair, I think, off the top of my head.
Okay, don't know.
Anyway, what was your worst for the week, my friend?
Well... at the risk of being repetitive, because I kind of did the same thing last week, I was really disappointed at the way that the Rey Fénix Andrade match ended, because that was building up and building up to be a match of the year candidate.
Mm.
And then they just ruined it with a run in and a kick to the nuts. Like, oh, really? You've just ruined it.
Crowd was really flat as well. You can tell whether it's worked by the crowd reaction, and it just didn't. This ending did not work for this match at all.
Yeah. I was really getting into that match. Like, it started off with some really surprising sort of technical wrestling, joint manipulation, twists and submissions, but then really quickly got into the superb high-flying stuff that we expect from these two. They had this story being told about the bigger, you know, more brutal heel Andrade was dominating. And then, you know, eventually, he had a couple of really big moves where he pushed Fénix off the top rope, landed really awkwardly outside. Then there was another one soon after where he did a double foot stop on his chest while he was hanging upside down. So he's really struggling to get back into contention. He managed to get some offense in, did some amazing flying kicks off the top rope. Did a rolling cutter into his spot, like to spike Andrade's head. The action was going backwards and forwards. Fénix dives for a senton, lands hard on his head, and then Andrade took over again. Unfortunately, they had some really bad choice of timing for advertising, so we missed the beginning of a Spanish fly superplex from Fénix. But then they did this ending. Like, I was just getting so into it. Guys, come on.
Yeah. It's weird, man, because it feels like a recent phenomenon in AEW of the sort of screwy finish. One of the things I've loved about weekly television with AEW is that doesn't happen. You know, that there are payoffs and it doesn't fit. I think the most frustrating thing for WWE, all of my bitching aside,
I would totally agree,
is the lack of results on TV. And it just genuinely feels like the company going, well, you want to see a fucking result, buy a pay-per-view. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it feels like. And when this happens, it does always feel a little bit like a screw you. Now, we'll jump on these things and then like the next week be like, oh, everything we said was wrong. And you know, but this match, I absolutely agree with you, Paulie. This match was so good that it deserved, there's no reason why you couldn't have a result that wasn't interference based and then have the interference.
Yeah.
You know,
that's happened many times before.
Yeah. It's always better booking to do that. I think always.
We could have had another 5 minutes of spectacular action and elevated this one up there with the other match of the year candidates that we've talked about recently, Buddy and Pac, the Bucks multiple times, you know, and other ones. Just
Yeah, really frustrating. My worst is, I'll be interested to see what you think about this, has been Will Ospreay's booking over the last few weeks in AEW. I understand that he hasn't been pinned himself and he's been in a lot of three-way matches and all that sort of thing, but he hasn't won a match since he's been in AEW. And I just think that's a mistake. If people are, I double checked because I didn't want to come on. Yeah, I didn't want to come on and then say it and then be like, nah. Now I'm double thinking myself looking at your face, but I'm almost 100% sure that he hasn't. He's only been there 2 weeks. So this is three matches, I think, all up that we're talking about. Because he lost to Dax, right? And then he lost on Dynamite this week to Orange Cassidy. And then the other match he was in was also, he lost to Trent and Roppongi. No, has he lost to Orange Cassidy twice and Dax once?
I'd like to look into this afterwards. But anyway, keep going.
Well, yeah, let's just say that that's correct. But even if it's one and two, that's still not, you know, I just, this guy's a star. And we can talk about, there's other bits in the show coming up where we'll talk about, like, there seems to have been some difficulty from AEW's end trying to get New Japan to help as much as they could have in the build up to this pay-per-view. But you had Will there, So you can't, like, with the booking of Jay Wyatt and Will Ospreay, this is 100% on Tony's shoulders. If people are complaining, and I know a lot of people complain on Twitter for the sake of it, but let's say that people's arguments on Twitter are valid, that the build-up to this pay-per-view has not been good, which I do not agree with, except with Will Ospreay. Like, I just think you could have just done a couple. Let him cut a promo. I mean, he's one of the best heel promos going around as far as I'm concerned. He's barely spoken. I know Jim and Excalibur have been doing a lot of hard work on commentary to try and build him up, but didn't know anything about New Japan at all, and it's hard to be an AEW fan and a wrestling fan to not know about guys like Jay White and Will Ospreay, I get that. But I don't know if his in-ring work alone in the matches that he's had has also allowed him to get over. I think if you booked him to lose but allowed him to have singles matches to show what he really could do, then that would have put him over. Or you let him win a couple of times in the kind of matches he's been booked in and let him cut a couple of heel promos. It just feels – I just would have made a much bigger deal out of Will Ospreay than, you know.
Not last week, but the week before. He was in the main event on Rampage, and that's when Mark Henry does his we've had enough talk shimmy. He cut a brilliant promo in that. I remember that.
Yes.
It was brief, but, you know, perfect. It just saying that I'm the best, I'm going to screw you up and whatever.
I just think when you had these guys, you like, for me personally, if I was booking AEW and I had Jay White and Will Ospreay, I would have been utilizing them more than they have been. That's all. It's not a huge criticism, and like, I understand the thought process of Tony's of kind of like, well, these guys fucking book themselves. I don't have to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to put them in the ring. You can see what they could do, you know. And look, the pay-per-view is sold out anyway. The buy rate's huge, apparently. So there might be an element of like, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I will admit that I have seen some of the booking happening with these guys and thinking, why are it would have been better to me if the guys from each promotion were presented as kind of 50-50 equal, kind of, you'd never know who's going to win this. And to do that with the lead up matches, then each members from each promotion should be getting wins.
Yeah.
But they're not.
No.
They're all going to AEW guys.
Yeah.
And so that's, for me, one of the items that I sort of thought it was a curious way to push this, to promote the upcoming pay-per-view, and to present the matches as to where each member is strong, and you know, you don't expect that only one person has a chance.
Yeah,
in the event.
Well, it's just basic storytelling, right? Like, if you keep presenting the other half, like, if there's two, there's a protagonist and antagonist. If you keep presenting the antagonist as someone who loses consistently, then it becomes Wile E. Coyote versus Roadrunner.
Precisely,
you know, you just know what's going to happen every goddamn time. And like, people could make the argument of like, oh well, the ending of the Roadrunner shows is not the point; it's what happens in between. But if you want people to suspend their disbelief, you've got to give them some results. Otherwise, it's all gaga, to quote Bruce Pritchard, which I hate doing. Anyway. Should we jump onto the...
I think it's time for us to have a break.
Oh, yes.
We need to pay the rent, sir.
Yeah, we need to have a quick break. And we'll be back after that with our best predictions and spot of the week. Guys, we know a lot of wrestling fans are ice hockey fans, and the pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL,
and also of AEW,
has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets, no matter what, win or lose.
Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during playoffs? With DraftKings Same Game Parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN, bet $5 on any NHL team to win, and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code TPPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Welcome back. Best of the week, Paulie. You got a little best moment that you loved?
There were plenty of elements that I thought were really stood out. I reckon the segment that popped me the most, or that I pumped for the most, was definitely Christian's heel promo. It was fantastic. Really well done. But I'll give an honourable mention to the segment where Orange Cassidy was coming to the ring, walks down the ramp, goes to the side of the ramp and fist bumps someone, and then the camera pans over and we see that it's actually someone dressed up as an Orange Cassidy lookalike. It was so cool. Very funny. Anyway, look, my impression that was the best of the week was really just the way that these two programs were put together in to very successfully do what a go-home show should do just before a pay-per-view, and that's to get everyone excited about it, about all of the matches that are on the pay-per-view, to make sure you go and buy it. Here's your last chance to get a teaser of what you might see. And when you consider that I think there are 11, or is it 11 or now 12 matches? I can't remember exactly. I think it's 12, actually.
12?
Yeah, 12 matches on the card. I've got a pretty good feeling that, let's say, 9 of them have been changed due to injuries.
It's 11. 11 okay. Matches.
All right. So I'll say 8 then. I think 8 of them have been changed due to injuries. Only the pre-show or the buy-in matches, which have just been announced, have not been affected by injuries, and Thunder Rosa against Tony Storm. That's been the plan all along. Everything else has been changed, and changed sometimes more than once. When you consider that Tomohiro Ishii had to be pulled out because he suffered an injury in his qualifying match for the All-Atlantic Championship. And now we've got Connor. What's his name? Connors?
Please hold. Clark Connors.
Clark Connors, yeah. And in that match, I think it's disappointing that it's disappointing when anyone gets injured, sure, but having Ishii out of that match means that none of those 4 competitors are Japanese. So it was just like, oh man, really?
Yeah.
So that was a pity. However, look, from the beginning of this, beginning of first show, Dynamite, the first match was a 3-way tag. And There were AEW chants like within a couple of minutes. Everyone was so excited. The crowd was so excited watching this, and I thought it was brilliant. Mm. It was such a good reminder of the amazing depth that there is in the promotion, and a brilliant teaser for Sunday or Monday our time. The Cassidy Ospreay segments when they were actually in the ring together were mouthwatering. Like I was really impressed, and when we first heard Will Ospreay versus Orange Cassidy, we're thinking, really? That's your choice of opponent? You got the arguably the best wrestler in the world against a comedy guy. Mm. But, he's not just that. He's not just a comedy guy. He's a really good worker. And I imagine the match is going to be fantastic, especially after seeing this example, which did its job, which did what it was supposed to do. It's supposed to tease me, give a taste of what we're going to see on the weekend and get excited about it. And it certainly did. And the tag segments rammed home just how brilliant the multi-championship match will be. Like, so we've got FTR putting up the Ring of Honor Tag Championship and United Empire putting up the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Championship.
Mm.
So the winner out of this match will have both of those championships, and the other entrant in the match is Roppongi Vice, and all of those guys are awesome. So it's going to be great. And it was it was Roppongi Vice that we got to see teaming with Cassidy during this match. So from that, and then right to the end of Rampage, where we had Cash Wheeler against Jeff Cobb. Pretty good match. I was surprised that Cobb got over, but then the chaos afterwards, where we had the brawls going through the crowd and around the ring and to the announce desk, like that was another really good way to like just show how much animosity is brewing between all of these people that are going to be involved in matches on Sunday. And it was just it was just so well done. I thought it was really impressive.
I did love that. And I understand the hypocrisy of talking about how much I haven't liked Will Ospreay's booking. And then they've been like, yeah, it's brilliant. That criticism is just a small one, but I thought the same thing, man. I thought that like ending of Rampage was superb, and I'm not usually a big fan of like everyone runs in and fights because it feels a bit sort of high school drama sports, totally, you know. Yeah. but I thought for some reason, it probably flies in the face of my worst segment, but the overall booking the last 3 weeks has been good. Anyway, you heard what I said in my worst segment. But outside of Ospreay and White could have gone over one more time each, or with Jay White at least once, I think overall you're right, man. Like, I think that for me personally, there's been an anticipation since day one of Forbidden Door being announced, and the last 3 weeks has kind of lived up to almost every expectation, and it culminated tonight at the end of Rampage with everybody going mental, Jericho and Kingston, Eddie Kingston trying to get Excalibur's pen to stab in Jericho's eye and everyone going crazy about the pen. Like, I think, we criticize stuff on AEW because that's the nature of our podcast. And if we didn't criticize some things, it would be a very, very boring podcast of like, AEW is great. All right, we'll see you next week. But what I do love about AEW is the tone a lot of the time. They're obviously being serious when Excalibur and Taz and stuff are going crazy about the pen, but there's also this like other level of storytelling there where it's like, this is all a bit stupid, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, there's this wink and a nod of like, this is fun. Like, we're having fun here, you know? And I think it's a tone that is completely missing in the opposition at the Fed. And I think that last 2 minutes of Rampage really reiterated just the feeling that I get when I watch AEW, which is like, this is a fun, wrestling is fun. we should have fun while we're doing it. You should have fun while you're watching it.
Absolutely. Hey, don't mean to be a dick, but I've just had a look at Cage Match, and according to them on Dynamite, Road Rager, Will Ospreay defeated Dax Harwood.
Did he? That doesn't sound correct at all. Because I remember talking about it on the podcast.
Maybe we should rewatch that segment when we've got a fair few minutes later in the day.
All right. Well, I'll completely retract everything I said in my last statement. I had no worse this week. My best, just really quickly, was Okada showing up. Again, I know I feel like everything I bring up is a way to like attack people that I've been having arguments with on Twitter during the week, and I need to stop doing that. But I just, there was an element again of people were so ready to write the death warrants of AEW on Tuesday afternoon. You know, it was like people sort of sat around and was like, hang on a second, Okada isn't on this pay-per-view. And besides the fact that the moment was amazing when his music hit, like the coins drop and then, you know, he was actually in an AEW arena. I mean, that in itself is a huge fucking thing. And, you know, sort of false equivalency arguments that I'd heard previously of like, oh, well, you've got to build him up for months because no one will know who he is, and da, 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 which is blown out of the water when, you know, 10,000 people lost their minds when he walked out on stage. And then I thought that actual segment was pretty cool as well. But it also did give me a sense of satisfaction of just, you know, like I just like Gabbo on The Simpsons, like that ought to take care of those little SOBs. You know, like I was just like, maybe we should wait a little bit before, like, let's just wait and see the whole card is like, let's not criticize the booking of a card or what a card is until we see the full card. You know what I mean? I know it's like, it's strange that we didn't have the full card going into the go-home shows this week, but then it made for amazing moments like Okada showing up on Dynamite this week, which is something we'll talk about in 20 years' time. So
it's not necessarily strange that we didn't have the full card, because that's often the case that they'll add maybe one or two, not four or five. And certainly it is strange that we didn't have some of the biggest names in the world actually on that card yet.
Yeah, but I don't think it's like, look, we don't know why Okada has only shown up on Wednesday night. That could have been the plan the whole time. And they might shift 100,000, you know, like they might shift 100,000 buys because of it in the next 3 or 4 days. Who knows? But I know that Forbidden Door is being shown for free on the New Japan Network as well. So maybe it's just a lackluster, you know, maybe New Japan are like, well, you know, it's not as elevated for them, the, you know, the guys running New Japan, as it is the AEW guys. I don't know.
Right.
You know? Anyway, Okada was on Dynamite. Like that sentence alone, it just, I don't need to explain it, because it's that's the headline. There's no story. There's no byline to it. Okada was on Dynamite. Shut up. Go watch the pay-per-view. It's going to be amazing.
It sure is. It's
and sorry to talk over the talk, but the match that's announced is Okada, Adam. God, there's so many fucking Adams. Okada, Adam Cole, Hangman Adam Page, and Jay Goddamn White in a four way in like. I can't. What else do you want? Like, you can't, you cannot book a better match than that. Oh, you can, because Tanahashi's fucking fighting Mox the match afterwards. Like, I don't, this pay-per-view is going to be mind-blowingly amazing. And I can understand some people saying, well, we need some story leading up to it. And I know I was sort of saying that with Ospreay's booking. But ultimately, now that we're at this point and the pay-per-view's happening tomorrow, let's just enjoy it. Right? Let's just like be. So, and I'm not, this is not directed at you, Paul. I'm directing this at the internet wrestling community. Let's just like, it's going to be so phenomenal. I think we should just be grateful that it exists, because 3 years ago it didn't. I think we kind of need to keep reminding ourselves of like every single thing that we have wanted as alternative wrestling fans, people who don't want to go and watch the big Disney ride that is WWE. There hasn't been one thing that we haven't got. You know what I mean? I wanted Danhausen in AEW. He's there. I wanted CM Punk to come out of retirement, come to AEW. He's there. I wanted Bryan Danielson to leave WWE and come to AEW. He's there. I wanted John Moxley. I wanted Eddie Kingston. I wanted goddamn Ricky Starks from NAW to come across. He did. I wanted Warhorse to come back to AEW. He's now wrestling on Dark. I wanted them to do stuff with New Japan. They've got a whole pay-per-view of AEW versus New Japan. I mean, there just hasn't been... I wanted to see FTR versus the Bucks. We got that. There hasn't been anything like... there's this closing in of criticism on Tony and AEW recently, and I find it quite strange, especially when you consider what's been going on in the other shop.
What has been going on, Damien?
Well, you've got their boss who's been embezzling public funds to try and cover up an affair that happened 3 years ago, and he's passing women who work in his employ around like a chew toy, in inverted commas. And that the backlash for that lasted, 12 hours? And then he came out on SmackDown and everyone went, oh, yeah, Mr. McMahon, what a cool character. And then we all forgot about like,
and he's still the head of creative.
He's still the head of creative.
And then nothing's changed.
Everybody's attention turned to, oh, I'm not getting the exact match I want on Forbidden Door, so fuck Tony Khan. What is going on? What's going on?
Yeah, get some perspective.
I can't. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown, man. I don't understand. I need to delete my Twitter account, but I can't because that's how we promote this goddamn podcast. Anyway, Okada was on Dynamite. It was sick.
Sure was.
Where are we up to? I'm flustered. Whew.
Well,
I'm going through the change. I've got a hot flush happening over here.
this is where we normally would like to throw out a couple of ideas that we have for things that might happen in the future. So, predictions.
Yeah, well, this has been a long-running segment that's been going for 2 weeks, and we're both 0-0. So take these predictions with a massive grain of salt. You want to go first?
Yeah. Okay. So the interim AEW championship is the main event of Forbidden Door, and it will be a match between John Moxley and Hiroshi Tanahashi. Now, Mox has been saying in the promos, this is going to cap off all the work that I've been doing for 3 years, all the blood and the sweats and the rehab, or what, I don't know what he says. And I don't quite know exactly what he's talking about there, because during that 3 years, he was AEW champion for a year. So I don't know exactly where he's going there.
Anyway. There has been, not to talk over the top of you, but there has been, when he's been over in New Japan, there's been motions to him wrestling Tanahashi, and it's never happened. So that's why he keeps talking about, you've been ducking me, man, you've been ducking me. But that's all New Japan storyline that we don't see in AEW.
Okay, that's a bit more, much more of it. And I'm pretty sure that the original plan for this was CM Punk versus Tanahashi, because there was a moment when maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, when they first started doing some teasing to build up the pay-per-view, there was a moment when Punk was in the ring with Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler. And, oh, or was it Trent? I don't know. Punk was in the ring with someone. And after they said what they had to say, the New Japan logo came up on screen. And Punk says, oh, that's right, we've got to sell some tickets to this pay-per-view. Who we got? And out wanders Hiroshi Tanahashi. So clearly the plan was for Punk to face Tanahashi at the pay-per-view. Then Punk's injury. So it seems to me that the original plan was to have Tanahashi face Punk. So Tony has stories that he writes long-term stories and sticks to them. I believe this is just a little roadblock in that story, and he wants to finish writing that story. That means that Tanahashi has to face Punk later down the road. To do that, Tanahashi has to beat Moxley at this show. And there has been a few mentions on commentary in the last week or two about how significant it would be if the AEW championship was held by someone in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Now, it's interesting that this was mentioned, and you know, we know about as I've just told you, we know about Tanahashi and Punk originally being the story, and I'm sure it will be again later. However, I've looked around on various dirt sheet sites and some sort of betting sites. They have the odds listed for all of the people who are in the pay per view. And Mox is the overwhelming favorite. So I don't know.
That was on DraftKings, obviously.
That's exactly where it was. I don't get it. I don't think it's going to happen. But you know, that's my prediction. Tanahashi is going to win, and he will be the interim AEW champion. So the belt will go away from the promotion to Japan. And he will retain it until Punk is healthy, and that will be the next match, probably at All Out.
I actually agree with you, because outside of the story making sense, it's the interim championship, so it doesn't really matter.
Right, and it's also a perfect mechanism they can use to promote AEW outside of
absolutely
US.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's once belts leave their own little story world, that's what they are. They're big banners saying AEW, you know.
Hell yeah.
That's what FTR were doing with the AAA belts for a long period of time, you know. Yep. It was just free advertising for AAA to, you know, have the best tag team in the world. What, in my opinion, walking around with AAA belts on. Yeah, I think you're right, man.
And they'll be doing it again next week with the New Japan Pro Wrestling heavyweight belts on their shoulder as well.
Yeah. God, I would love to see FTR go to Japan and do some strong style wrestling. There's nothing they can't do, by the way. Anyway, I'm trying to work my way into being like the hype man for the Sons of Hitman. My prediction is, look, I'll be honest, this isn't really my prediction. This is the internet's prediction, but I'm going to put it in here because I do kind of think this is most likely what will happen. I think that Cesaro or Claudio, I'm trying to find, do we know what his
He's been using the letters CSRO, and I think.
Yeah, so it'll be Claudio Cesaro, Cesaro. Cesaro. Yeah. Anyway, you know what we mean. Cesaro will debut to wrestle Zack Sabre Jr. And then join the Blackpool Combat Club. I just wanted to point out something.
Claudio Castagnoli.
Oh, okay, cool. It always takes me ages to get used to using the new name, so don't expect any miracles on this episode, guys. But anyway, I'm just going to stick with Cesaro for the time being. I think people got hung up on Excalibur saying that he'll be the newest member of BCC. I think he just meant for Blood and Guts. So I still think there's a possibility that Johnny Gargano could show up. The only reason I say that is that Brian talked about technical wrestling. Brian Danielson, in his promo on Dynamite this week, where he said he couldn't wrestle, he talked a lot about technical wrestling. And I know that Cesaro is a very good technical wrestler. I would say Johnny Gargano is better.
Right.
So that's the only thing that makes me think that might be the case. But it's one of those two guys, right? We can't see it being.
Well, I can't think of anyone else who any other free agent that's out there that's that exciting.
Yeah. The only other thing I could think of is someone within the community, to use a better, to for want of a better term, like someone who's already signed to Ring of Honor or AEW, but I can't think of who that would be either. Yeah, so I think it probably would be Cesaro, and I could see him being a part of the Blackpool Combat Club as well. That makes more sense to me than Johnny Gargano. I don't see Gargano being in BCC long term.
Yeah, well, I think both of those guys are in really good workers, and I'd love to see them perform again. So,
yeah,
let's see.
It would be great to see Cesaro win a belt of some subscription. Like, I know we say that about almost every single person who comes across to AEW, but yeah, man. Like, I wasn't a massive, like, I liked Cesaro. I've always really respected his work. I wasn't a massive fan in WWE, but I did consistently feel sorry for him in the sense of, like, it seems like that he has a lot to offer personality-wise and also in-ring-wise, and just wasn't allowed to let that shine in WWE. So,
you know, I think he would be a perfect holder of the All-Atlantic Championship.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think Miro will win that. But anyway, what was the spot of the week?
Well, the bit that I liked this week that was the best was a sequence that occurred in the Rey Fénix-Andrade Idolo match. Where what happened was the two guys were on the ring apron. Fénix was leaning against, I think he was a bit recovering from a bump, leaning against the post, and Andrade ran in from the other side of the other post to knee him. Fénix gets out of the way. The knee goes slamming into the ring post. Now, we know that Andrade wears pads, but that still would have really tickled, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
Then Fénix climbed up to the ring post to the top rope, dived down onto Andrade, double foot stomp. It's like, whoa. Very impressive. And I really hope that we can find that segment for you, and we'll stick it in the notes so you can check it out.
We will. Absolutely. It'll be in the show notes. Cool. Well, that's it. That's all the news that's fit to print. Thanks to the Pigskin Network and the Amaze Network for hosting and supporting us, in particular, Brandon. Thanks a lot, man. And also thank you for listening. If you would like to support the show, you can rate, subscribe. Probably the best way to do that is to go to WrestleWolf.com now, and you can find all the links there. And until next week, may your wrestling be good wrestling. And we
don't talk about Cody.